Because we're about to begin, we just barely touched at the end of the last year, about the next type of item that's not going to be subject to the regular rules of Bittul, and that's the Halacha of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Gemara says in a few places, most people know it from the beginning of Masechet Beitza, but it actually shows up in Masechet Nedarim also, Zvachim, a couple other places. The Gemara has this principle called Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, Afilu V'Yalach Lo Batil, that something which is eventually going to become Mutar is not going to be Batil at all. The Gemara has two different parts of that statement in the beginning of Masechet Beitza. It took the Gemara a long time to figure it out, but finally the Gemara comes to the conclusion that there are really two different exceptions to the regular rules of Yeridaya that play out when you have a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. One is Afilu V'Yalach Lo Batil, and the other is that Sveika D'Rabbanan Mekula doesn't apply. What's the connection? Is there really a connection between these two halachas that Bittul doesn't apply and Sveika D'Rabbanan Mekula doesn't apply? So Rashi, in the sugya of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, seems to give the underlying principle of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, which seems to cover both bases. Rashi says that whenever you have a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, so you have an option. The option is to be patient. Wait it out a little bit. Wait till tomorrow. Wait till next week. Wait till 6 months from now. You wait it out a little bit. What do you have to eat something based on funny klola? What do you have to spend so much time learning your day to figure out? Is it bottle? Is it not bottle? It's suffering lakula, not suffering lakula. Why rely on klolim, which are not so great, which are not so glot? Bittul is not so great. Suffering lakula is not so hot, not so great. Why do you have to rely on it if you don't have to? If you're stuck, it's going to be the other option is throwing the food into the garbage or relying on Sveik Darban Lekula. Or throwing the food into the garbage or relying on Bittul, Bero, Bishish, whatever it is. Okay, so you have no choice, then Lazeberry, you have to rely on these Kloim. But if you can avoid Bittul, you should have had to try to avoid it. So Rashi seems to say that Achad Dechlenu B'yis Dechlenu B'hetta is the underlying principle behind both of these Chumras that we find by Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. So we really have to analyze both of these Chumras and see, is that really true? Are both of these kolalim really fly in the face? Are they really fly in the face of doing things proper? If a person relies on Sveik Darban Lekula, there's something like not so good about that. The guy relies on Bittul, there's something not so great about that. It's like a lack of a Midas Chassidus, like a lack of a Dikdik B'mitzvah relying on these kolalim. So according to Rashi, that's what the whole principle of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin is based on. We have to take a few steps back and see, is that really true? So let's see if we can analyze each one of these independently and then see the grandiose picture, at least according to Rashi. So Sveika D'Rabbanan Lekula, we're not really learning that sugya now, it's really a sugya later on, Sivu Kuf Yud, but it already touches on Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. So Sveika D'Rabbanan Lekula, we have to ask a very basic conceptual question, is this a great thing to do? Should we be living our lives based on Sveika D'Rabbanan Lekula? Or Sveika D'Rabbanan Lekula, we're going to throw our hands up and say, you know what, we are so sorry, we really would much rather be firmer than that. But you know, what do you want? What do you want from us? It's only D'Rabbanan, it's a Suffolk, we're taking our chances. What is Sveika D'Rabbanan Lekula? Sveika D'Rabbanan Lekula, mamish glat, it's mahadrim and mahadrim, it's totally okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Well, there is smacks of something some negativity here in Sveika D'Rabbanan Lekula. So the simple reading of Rashi is that the smacks of something negative. That's really not such a good thing. It's really something we should try to avoid. If we're stuck, we can rely on it. But if we're not stuck, we should try to avoid it. But is that really true? So that seems to be Machlekes HaRishonim. So this Machlekes HaRishonim appears concerning a few different aspects. One of the famous places where it appears is the Machlekes Tais in the Ran, of all places in the Sugya Sefiras Omer. There's a Taisus in Daf Samach Vav and Af, Maseches Menachos, where Taisus talks about two questions. They talk about whether Sefiras Omer Bezmana says Deraisa or Derabanan, and then they talk about, assuming that it's Derabanan, what possible kulos would be available to us. So Taisus takes the stand that Sefiras Omer Bezmana says only Midirabanan. If you deny that, so then the rest of the discussion is meaningless. So Taisus assumes that it's only Midirabanan. Where did they get that from? From the Gemara. Because the Gemara says that Sefiras Omer Bezmana says only Zechel HaMikdash. So the Rambam says that's not true. The Rambam says we don't pass like that law in the Gemara. How did the Rambam know we don't pass like that law in the Gemara? Because the Gemara says that one of the Amoraim held that Sefiras Omer Bezmana says only Midirabanan, because it's totally B'mikdash. We know if it makes a mikdash, so there's no Sefiras Deraisa. And therefore, when you count Sefiras, you have to count the days, you don't have to bother counting the weeks. There's no need to count the weeks, just that's Zecha Mikdash B'Alma. So the Rambam seemed to understand that day, which said that you don't have to bother counting the weeks, that day held that Sefiras is Derabanan Bezmana Zeh. But we who do count the weeks, all the other Amoraim, the Gemara quotes that Mitzvah Mem Niyom, Mitzvah Mem Nishvulei, we who have practices, we do count the days and the weeks. The reason why we do that is because we hold it's not just a Zeicha B'Yam, we hold it's the real Makuah, it's a real Mitzvah. So the Rambam seems to learn that everybody agrees that the Mitzvah Sefiras Deraisa encompasses both. Because it says Tisbru Chamishim Yoyim, and it says Shiva Shavuos. So everybody agrees that if there would be Sefiras Deraisa, you would require both. It's just that one day holds, it's not a Midrabanan. So they made it very, very watered down Derabanan. Just if it's a Zeicha B'Yam, it doesn't have to be so perfect. It doesn't have to replicate Sefiras properly. And we who disagree, we hold that Sefiras Deraisa. So according to the Rambam, that Svir Bezman says they're right. So the rest of the discussion is moot. But Tosfos didn't hold that way. Tosfos seems to hold that everybody agrees Svir is the Rabbanim. There's no Bisham Mikdash. The Pesachim say Yom of Yachim is carbon. There's no carbon. There's no Svir. Finish. The whole thing is only the Rabbanim Zechel and Mikdash. So why do we bother counting the weeks? So that seems to be a different Nakuda, says Tosfos. That the day that says you don't have to bother counting the weeks, held is just it's a Zechel B'Alma. There's no need to replicate the mitzvah properly. Whereas we hold, true, it's a Zeicha L'Mikdash, but the Takana was to do it right. You don't just do a Zeicha and do an incomplete Zeicha. You do it a Zeicha, you do it properly, you do it correctly, you do a Mitzvah and a Yom, a Mitzvah and a Shavuot. So at the end of the day, Tosfos holds that we do count the days and we count the weeks, and it's still the Rabbanan. And the Ram says we count the days and the weeks, and therefore it's Taka Deraisa. So if you forget the Ram for a minute, just go to the world view of Tosfos, that Tzvir is only Midir Rabbanan, so then Tosfos goes on to the next stage. Tosfos says that you can therefore count Ben Hashmashos, because Ben Hashmash is a Safik Yom Safik Laila. If it would be a Mitzvah Deraisa, we would never dream of doing a Mitzvah Deraisa in the Safik, Safik Deraisa L'Chumra. But since it's only Midir Rabbanan anyway, so big deal, says Tosfos. You can do a Ben Hashmash, there's nothing wrong with doing a Ben Hashmash. You can rely on Sveik Deban L'Kula, perfectly okay, L'Chachila, there's nothing wrong to feel bad about, Sveik Deban L'Kula. Then Tosfos goes one step further, Tosfos says, and not only is it Mutter to count Ben Hashmash, Tosfos says maybe it's proper to count Ben Hashmash. Why is it better to count Ben Hashmash? Because the Gemara says in Menachos that based on the Pasuk Tmimos, you have to count at night. You can't count Sefirah 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You have to count the night before, because it has to be a Yom Tamim. So that's Machlis Rishonim. It's Ma'akev, Namakev, L'Chachil, the Raisa. It's a different story. But everybody agrees that L'Chachil, at least, maybe even B'diavad, you have to count the night before. So Taizah is a Chiddush Gadol. Taizah writes that Tmimos means you have to get as much of the day in as possible. So let's say if you have a choice to daven between at a 8 o'clock minyan or 10 o'clock minyan during Sefirah. So Tosfos writes you should daven at the 8 o'clock minyan. Because if you daven, not just al zerizim of dimun mitzvahs, al to a greater kim of tamimus. Because Tosfos understood that the more of the day that's counted, the more of the day that's posted count, that's a greater kim of tamimus. But the evidence you say at 10 o'clock ma'ariv also. But the evidence you say at 3 o'clock in the morning also. Maybe even the evidence you say at 10 o'clock in the morning, maybe. But as a kim of tamimus, it's more correct to count as early as possible. So Tosfos says, Oba Zoi, that it's a greater kim to count as early as possible, you might as well count Ben Hashmashos. Because Ben Hashmashos, you can get the Einlecha Tumimus Gadol Mizeh. It's a funny Tosfos. Tosfos says that he starts off by saying, Svir is Derabbanan, so therefore Safik Derabbanan is Lekula. And then he says, and guess what? And if you count during Ben Hashmashos, so it's even better. And then Tosfos goes for the Mamash, believe it or not. Tosfos in Samach Vavim Rafim Menachah says, Mamash, Mamash, collect his item. Tosfos writes, and you know what? It's a Nira Lanu Loimar that not only should you count early, but it's even better to count before it gets dark. Before Ben Hashmashos. So you count Takabi Biyad Yoyim. You count before Shkia. Because Ein Lecha Tumim is Gadol Mizeh. That's the greatest Tumim. If you count, it's like doing a Hefsek Tara. If you do a Hefsek Tara, many have to Shkia, it's too late because you didn't get the whole day in. So you do the Hefsek Tara before Shkia. So that's what Tosfos says here also. If you want the day to be a Yom Sofer, you want it to be a Tumimos, so the better thing to do is to count before Shkia. Then you get the whole 24-hour period. If you count during Ben Hashmashos, you get 23 and a half hours. If you daven at 10 o'clock Ma'ariv, you get 21 hours. If you count the next day, you get 8 hours. If you want to get 24 plus, then you do it right before Shkia. That's what Tosfos writes. That's what the Rav Ram says. But it's the wrong day. What?
It's the previous
day. Yeah, you're worried about davening Ma'ariv early in Shavuos. Tosfos wasn't so worried about that. He says, Tosfos doesn't think that impinges on the Tumimus. That's a later Achorinish Chumra. So the Rav Ram says, Tumimus, but it's the wrong day. I got a great idea. You know, I'm always so nervous. The whole 49 days of Sefirah, I'm very nervous. I'm always afraid I'm going to forget a day. So I got a great idea now. It's a couple of days before Purim. I have nothing else going on. I count now. 1 day to Sefirah, 2 days to Sefirah, 49. I make the whole Shavuos now. The Hakom cheesecake, the works, everything now. And that way I'll know. It's Hakka counted already. So the Rav Ram says, it's the wrong day. What do you mean it's what to mean? It's not the wrong day. So he says, no, what Tosfos is talking about. So it's not wrong because it's Pshat and Tosfos. And Stamach Tosfos means that it's not that you're counting and you say, today is the third day of Sefirah. You have to count by saying, tomorrow is the third day of Sefirah. So the Rav Ram claims you can count Al Shema Osir. So good, so they should do that today also. So in 5 weeks from now is going to be the first day of Sefirah. 5 weeks and 1 day is going to be the second day of Sefirah. Get everything Al Shema Osir. So I don't understand what the Teret. I'm not sure how the Teret solves the problem. So whatever it is, this is a collected item, this Tosfos. So up until this point, the Tosfos is within regular, you know, Safik Derabban Lekula, maybe three weeks is the Chachila. This part is Mamash, believe it or not, one. It's such a believe it or not, so I tell you, two stories within 2 days of each other about my dating, right? This is another famous date. I told you about the grape, right? That was a couple of days ago? Okay. This was a different girl, different date, different relationship. It also lasted one time. It was like, I think, the day after Shavuos. So I went to pick a girl up for a date. And the father was set up the Talmid Chacham. And he started talking, learning a little bit. So we're talking about, we have a Shavuos. He said something about Tmimus, Oimer, Tmimus or something. So I said, yeah, according to that Tais, that difficult Tais is in Menachos, I'm like, so such and such will be true. So he stopped me and he said, what Tais? He said, there's a Tais in Menachos, I'm above. It says that Lechel Chil, you can even count me beyond Yom. So he says to me, there's no such Tais. It's like a very embarrassing, uncomfortable situation. I'm telling you the Tais they have, I don't want to make them feel bad. So he says to me, bring me a Gemara, I'll sit down and see the Tais. I said, look at my wife, it wasn't, it's a, it wasn't exactly the time to sit and read the Tais together. I sat and read the Tais together. So he said, Taki, you're right. Tais says it. I don't want to say, I told you it says it. I told you it's okay, fine. So anyway, the Meister stated the Tais. Tais says it. I told him. That was the only reason why I went on the date, because nothing else happened from that date. So Baruch Hashem got a good story out of it. That's what it says in Tais. Okay. So Meister, getting back to the story. So I'm doing some surgery on the wire toe the next couple of years. Meister, getting back to this story. Day before Purim. Come on, guys, cheer up a little bit. So Rabbi, Tosis, the shita that's important for us, that Tosis just told us, a gevalik yachidish, it's fake the cool, that it's okay even lechachila. So the Ran disagrees with this Tosis. The Ran, the end of Pesach, of course, Tosis says it's wrong. The Ran says, how can you do safek derban lekula lechachila? Who gave you a right to live your life based on safek derban lekula? Safek derban lekula means if something happens and you messed up, and now you don't remember, did you light Neres Chanukah or not? 3 o'clock in the morning, it's a hassle, get out of bed and go light again. All right, safek derban lekula. To light, to count and a shmoshos for lying on Sveikah Darman Lekula, the Chi'aisin Sveikah Darman Lekula had Chilas like the Ran. It's unheard of to do such a thing. So the Yemis says this is really the Ran the Shittasai, because there's a Ran also in the same parak, and Avid Tzachim, where the Ran has this very, very famous Kasha. But the Gemara has a machlokes in Avid Tzachim about the mitzvah of Haseba, when you have to lean at the Seder. So the Gemara has a machlokes. The Gemara says Matzah for sure you have to lean, Mora for sure you don't have to lean, and Dalakaisis for sure you have to lean, but not all four. Only two of the cases. Which ones you have to lean? So one day it says the first two, because that's the real Gula. By the cases that you're drinking by Chagadja time, no one's listening to anymore, so that doesn't matter. And the other day it says, no, the first two, you're still in Eved. It's only by the end, when you're mamash, after the Chayrus, that's the Zman Chayrus saying it. So Machlag is in the Gemara. One day it says you're leaning for the first, and one says you're leaning for the last, but nobody says you're leaning for all four. So Gemara says, Hashalo itn hechasa lokamav lokamar. We don't know which is right, so therefore we do a save in all four. So the Ran is this famous kasha. We do a seber all four. We should say hashlo hitma. We don't know which is right. So safik drabban a seber zonim drabban pashas against the Rambam diskarav. Okay, but we assume a seber zonim drabban. The Ran assumed. So you should say safik drabban lekula. Not do a seber all. That should be what you should do. So the Ran gives two famous tibutzim to this kasha. One of them is more famous than the other. That's the one we're not going to talk about now. We'll talk about it just for a second. But that's not what we really want to talk about. The Ran's famous teretz to this kasha is that you can't apply safik drabban lekula here. Why? Because it's what? It would be a violation of Tata Desasrin, because if you're going to apply Safik Darban Lekula, so you're going to come the first two kosas, and you're going to say, I'm not leaving now, because Safik Darban Lekula. So you won't lean the first two. Then come the last two, you'll say, I'm so sorry, I missed the last. I missed the first two, I'm not going to lean now either. So Nimsa, you didn't do a save altogether. So the Ran says, you can't invoke Safik Darban Lekula to uproot a mitzvah Darban Lekamri. So what do you do when you have a potential of Tata Desasrin? So you can't just pick and choose one over the other. It's arbitrary. The first two are maybe right. The last two are right. There's no way of knowing. The Gemara says, we have no idea. We have no kelim. We don't have the ability to machriya which are the correct cases. So the Ran says, whenever you have a safek derban lekula that's not nitan lahachra, and the only other option would be to do all or nothing, you have to do all. That's the famous klal of the Ran. Whenever you have a safek derban lekula in a situation of a tata desasre, and there's no way to be machriya, you have to do everything. So what's the steer in the Ran's? No? Come on. By Megillah, this is the famous Kashrut Mishnah Melach. The Ran, in the beginning of the Sefer Megillah, writes that if you have a Sufik Yom Kefas Chayma, so then the Ikra Din, you don't have to learn on both days. The Gemara says you still learn in Tveria both days because it was a Sufik. The Ran says it was a Midas Chasidus. The Ikra Din, you learn in the first day and finish. Why? Sufik Darban Lekula. You learn the first day, you're done, finished. I did it, I'm done, finished. I actually learn the second day, Sufik Darban Lekula, leave me alone. So that's what the Ran says. So that's the steer, the famous Mishnah Melach's Kashrut. Not for now. I want to focus on the second half of the Ran. So the Ran says that you know why we tell you to lean on all four cases? And we don't apply Sveka Darban Lekula? Because you have to drink the kos anyway. So what's the difference whether you're drinking the kos sitting like this or leaning like this? It's so easy. Says the Ran, whenever it's no tircha, klal uklal, why should you rely on Sveka Darban Lekula? You don't have to. If you're going to tell me you have to drink another kos, I already have some sick around, my stomach hurts, I'm falling apart already. Tell me to drink another kos, be suffering that you're not mechuyev to do. But if you're already drinking the kos, what's the difference? If you sit straight, or if you lean, the nafkami is another wine standing in your kittel. You're ready, your kittel's going to the cleaners, you have to yonta. So what's the difference how you drink the wine? So says the Ran, you don't say svek derban lekula when it's so easy to avoid. So this Ran, the second Teretz of the Ran, this is the less famous Teretz of the Ran, but this is Mamash Ram Shitasu in the end of Arvei Pesachim, by Sefiras Omer. You see from the Ran that our whole mindset to what Tzveik Adar Lakula is very, very Shvach. It means we really don't want, if we don't have to, we don't want to rely on it. So this idea that Rashi invokes in Maseches Beitza, the Dovah Sheish Matirin of Filu B'Yelef Lobotu, and Dovah Sheish Matirin and Tzveik Adar Lakula fall by the wayside, because Atshe Dechlen Behetar, Atshe Dechlen Behetar, Atshe Dechlen Behetar, this is starting to fit in nicely into the Ran's worldview, at least by Tzveik Adar Lakula. But the Rishonim don't say this. Tosfos B'Shur didn't say this. Some claim that Ram doesn't say this. It's not so poshut that there's anything wrong with living a life based on Tzveik Adar Lakula. Not so poshut at all. So Rashi is taking a certain stand on the subject. But what makes the sugi even more complicated, according to Rashi's approach, is the second half. Namely, there are two dinim of Dovah Sheish Matirin. There's a Tzveik Adar Lakula that gets trumped, and there's Bittul Isura because the Tarovis gets trumped. The regular rules of Bittul Barav, Bittul Shish, the regular rules of Bittul get trumped when you have a Dovah Sheish Matirin, because why rely on Bittul when you don't have to? Is there anything wrong with relying on Bittul? Rashi sounds like something bad. So Tzveik Adar Lakula, Mela, the Rai. But what's bad about relying on Bittul? So it sounds like Rashi's saying something very, very Mechudish over here, that Bittul is really not such a good thing. We really would like you not to rely on Bittul. It's really the proper thing not to rely on Bittul. We spoke about this. When we mentioned this, who remembers? When we spoke about what? Eim Vatnes L'Chachila. Then we said, according to some Mishonim, Eim Vatnes L'Chachila is Mamasha Deraisa. Remember we had Raivas and Rans and Rashbas. Some Mishonim said that Eim Vatnes L'Chachila is Mamasha Deraisa. What was wrong with it with Deraisa? Who remembers? Remember the Rashba? It's like a siyog deraisa. We call this Rashba, don't we? That if we let you be mivatli surah, next thing you know is you're going to goof on the numbers. You're not going to be mivatli properly. So we said, maybe there's another beer. Not because you can do anything wrong, just because the very act of bittul is just not right. It's not a good thing. Bittul is not a healthy, good thing spiritually. It's a nebuch. It's a yishasel chak. We're not going to make you throw out all your food. But lechatchila to rely on is not a good idea. So if that's the beer name of Atmos Lechachila, so that may be the beer in Rashi or also Ach Dechlan Bias Dechlan Metal. Why rely on Bittul if you don't have to? So the emes is that's a tremendous chiddush. Because what that would mean is that, let's say you have a shiloh, right? A little bit of a chaz that falls into my pot potato soup. I come to the rabbi and the rabbi says, no problem, it's Bittul B'Shishim. So I ask the rabbi, I know it's Bittul B'Shishim, but should I eat it? Come on, tell me, would you eat it? So what should the rabbi respond according to this? No, you really shouldn't eat it. No, if you really want to be frum, this is like for the not such frum people, but for the guys who are really frum, they really shouldn't rely on Bittul. Right? If what we're saying is right, the Rashi is saying, the smacks of a problem. It's not a nice thing to do. It's almost like Enos and Sofit Rabban Lekula Chachila. So just as if a guy would ask us, according to the Ran, should I lean for the Dalek Kaisas? The answer is, yeah, it's a Sofit, but it's so easy. If somebody asked the Ran, should I counter him Ben Hashmashos? The Ran would say, no, because don't do the Chachila, wait the next few minutes. So it sounds like that's what Rashi is saying, the same pizma when it comes to Bittul. If I were coming as the Shabbos, should I rely on Bittul? The answer is, not really. I have to tell you it's mutter because that's what it says in your day, that it's mutter. But if you want to know Beinenu what the correct thing to do is, it's better to talk about it. That's what the Pesach should be, according to the Shtickl Torah. So there are some Acharonim who point out that that may be a very, very problematic statement in Halacha, to such an extent that that may touch upon possibly being apikursus. Some Acharonim write that it's apikursus to say that. They say that you can't rely on Bittul. You don't believe in a Kaddish Baruch Hu's Torah. You don't believe in Tashra Peh. You don't believe in Maseches Chulin. It says the Chumash Acharam Lahatus. You're not allowed to rely on Bittul. You're smarter. You're firmer than your Bashlam. I don't practice Bittul. I don't practice Rov. I'm firmer. But that's ridiculous. Bittul is one of the Klali HaTorah. The same Kaddish Baruch Hu gave us the Yisrael Vidin Chaz. Gave us the Dinim of Bittul. It's like the guy who says, I don't believe in Erevin. I just believe in Erevin. I'm a Ratzas. I don't believe in Erevin. That's like saying, I don't believe in Bav Metzia. Erevin is a Masech and Shas, when you don't believe in Erevin. You meant what you probably mean to say, if you knew what you're talking about, what you meant to say is, I think that there's a big question, can I make an Erev in this particular place? Or is this particular Erev meeting the standards of what I would like to meet in terms of my Hilchos Erevin? So maybe I don't want to carry in this Erev, maybe I don't want to carry in that Erev, maybe I don't want to carry in any Erev. It's possible that none of the Erev are meeting my standards, or whatever I think my standards are, in terms of making Erev. But to say you don't believe in the concept of Erevin, that's the most ridiculous thing in the world. That's not being from, that's being a not. We'll call you a not, but it's not because I say I don't believe in Erevin. I don't believe in Tashra Peh. I don't believe in Mechitz, I don't believe in Tzuseh Pesach, I don't believe in Mishnayis and Erevin. Crazy. So you don't believe in your Adaya. So what are you getting Smicha for? So of course you don't believe in your Adaya. So many Achorim are very, very troubled with this idea to say that Bittul Yisurin is a bad thing. So if it's not a bad thing, if it's perfectly okay, Bittul Yisurin is one of the Klal Yatoira, So then what happened? What's Rashi talking about? Shtech want to be Yisr Tuchel Melech. What's the Yisr? So the Badei HaShulchan was so bothered with this cash that some Achronim have. He says he thinks that we misunderstood Rashi. He's a Rashi meant was like this. In the real halachic world, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. What I'm doing is perfectly okay. It's not Rashi Tuchel Melech Yisr. It's Tuchel Melech Behetter. It's actually the chlana behetta, the chlana behetta. There's no difference in the real halachic world. In the eyes of the Rebbe Shlomo, there's no difference between eating a pot of chicken soup which has no chazer in it and having chicken soup that's bottle, that's chazer bottle. It's mamish the same thing. The second guy is as frug as the first guy. But lefira os b'nei adam, not everybody learned yerden, not everybody finished smicha. So a lot of guys don't realize this. So a guy's going to see, someone's going to see you, the rabbi sitting down eating a pot of chicken soup, and hey, some chazer fell in there. We all know chazer fell in there. So in the perception of people, it's Tachlana B'Yisr. Reality, it's not a Tachlana B'Yisr. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing. But in people's minds, it looks like Tachlana B'Yisr. Maybe the guy himself was eating it. It's Nirlek Yisr. So when I come to the rabbi, and the rabbi says, it's okay, it's fine, it's Batal B'Shishim, it's okay. So if I'm stuck, then the other options are throw out the chicken soup, I don't have to throw out my food. Tarachosim or Shishro. But if I can avoid relying on Bittal, Chazal would prefer not to rely on Bittul. If you don't have to, it's better not to. You know why? Because it's going to lead to a zilzul and nisurin. Because what's the guy going to really think? What the rabbi really meant to say is, Chazal is okay. There's really nothing wrong with eating Chazal. Chazal is really okay. Chazal mixed in with kosher food. That's just a midas chasidus. You know, that's not really what the Torah requires you. You can have a little Chazal. That's not no big deal. So Ashat Techlele B'Yis Techlele B'Hatta means we don't want people to be saying Ashat Techlele B'Yis. We want to eat your food glat. Objectively, halachically, there's no need to. Objectively, halachically, it's as glad as it is, but it's bottle, it's not bottle. It's all the same thing. But to prevent misconception, that's why Chazal instituted the din of Dov Sheish Matir. If that's the case, then we can go back to the Sfeikah to Rabban Lekul and say the same story. Sfeikah to Rabban Lekul, the Meitach Abim Mot Lechad Chila. Taisos may be right, you can count Sfeir Benesh Mashas. It's really, there's nothing wrong with it. But a guy comes and asks a shayla to the rabbi, says, I have a Sufik Beitish and all the Biyamtif. So we're very weary to say mutter. We'd rather not say mutter. If we're stuck, we have to. If a guy asks the shayla, listen, I have a suffix bishalach, what do I do? So I have no choice. I have to tell him it's mutter. Some of you are on the kula, the chum never made it to kind of throw out your eggs. If you suffix, you can eat it. But if I have a suffix bishalach, what do I do? If we should make the guy feel good, say, wow, that's a great shayla. We see you have to be really, really careful. And huchas bishalach, what do I do? Don't eat it. Wait until tonight. What a gavaldik a shayla. Even though in our heart of hearts, we really know it's really mutter. There's really nothing wrong with it, because Sfeikah to Rabban Lekul is Mutter L'Chadchila Shem L'Chadchila. It's just to prevent confusion. Therefore, they made a din of Dovah Sheish Matir. That's a whole new take on Dovah Sheish Matir. Because the Badei Shulchan is right, that Dovah Sheish Matir is not addressing a real halachic concern. Dovah Sheish Matir is addressing a quasi-concern, a perception of Balabatim. We're not really worried about it. We have no qualms. If there was nobody watching us, if everyone knew what was really going on in Yerodea, we would have no qualms paskening Safi Derban Lekul. It's Mutter by Dov Sheish Matir, and Dov Sheish Matir is Bottle with the regular rules, but we have no problems with it. It's only the perception that we're trying to prevent. That's conceptually Lomdus, a very, very different way of looking at Dov Sheish Matir. So no matter how you slice it, either the regular way in Rashi or the Lomdus way in Rashi, Rashi does say this idea of Ash Techlan Behet, Techlan Behet, Techlan Behet. That's talking about Bittul, that's talking about Hochen Acharoi. No, that's Kafet Sechel Menuhuye. So I say, the Rashi is problematic. Either way you go, it's a little bit questionable, a little bit problematic. Is there anything else in Dov Sheish Matir? So Yaduah before some of the famous Shita Haran. Has everyone seen the Ran? Everyone gone through the Ran of Masechet Nedarim, that long, 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 long Ran? Okay, so we'll say it over. I can't say it over quickly. It's one of the collector's items Ran. We'll try to say it over and make sure we understand the Ran properly. So comes the Ran and says, I'm going to give you a shir klali as to why Dov Sheish Matir is a problem. As we've said already many times, the Rans in general are unbelievable, and the Rans in the Dharam or the Malam and the Teva, and this is one of the Mamish, I don't mean this in any disrespect to any others, this is like one of the best of the best. This is like, you know, can't get more lomdish than this Ran. Comes around and says, where did this come from, Dov Sheish Matir? It's only the Rabbanan for sure. Well, what's it all about? Where did it come from? Says the Ran, in order to understand it, you have to get back to the basics and understand the basic components of what Bittul is all about. When you understand what Bittul really is about, then you'll understand exactly where this Din Rabbana comes from. Where does it start, says the Ran? In the age of Machlekes Rabbeinu and the Rabbana, it all starts with the Avodas Yom Kippurim. The Dama Par and the Dama Asar. Dama Par and the Dama Asar get mixed together. Rightfully so, they get mixed together because the Torah says to mix them together. And the Torah still says, it's still called What? The damasar. Damasar. You ever see a goat? You ever see a bull? A bull is very, very big. A goat's very, very little. Obviously, there's more than rove of par blood to sar blood. And still, the Torah says, with a straight face, damapar, damasar. So, zemen findo that it's not bottle. So, what conclusion should we draw from here? It should be bottle with rove, but I'm daharem lahatas. So, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanu went in totally different tracks. What conclusion should we draw? They were both bothered with the same kasha. All Tanoim were bothered with this kasha. The question is, what's the solution? What conclusion should we draw? So Rabbi Yehuda came up with this grandiose idea called min bemino in a bottle. That's it. Zeres HaKosov, min bemino. Remember we said that even though min bemino in a bottle, but it's only ein l'chala b'ay chedusha, namely it's only by similar to the Zeres HaKosov, it only applies to what kind of a tarovis? Who remembers? We quote Rabbeinu Tam. We quote this. We talked about the Nevi Yehud, about the differences between Yavash, Yavash, and Lach B'Lach. But in Vat Nesachil, do we quote Rabbeinu Tam? Chaisis and Menachas claims, B'das Rabbeinu Tam, that the only time you say min bemino in a bottle according to Rabbeinu is only when it's Lach B'Lach. Not when it's Yavish B'Yavish. Why? Because that's something the Chumash is talking about. The Torah is talking about a Lach B'Lach, it's not talking about a Yavish B'Yavish. So even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, if you have three pieces of meat, they're all on the table together, nothing got mixed up together, it's just the wrappers were taken off. So Chad B'Trei Bottle. Lo Shemana Dov Azem Yalim, Rabbi Yehuda should deny Chad B'Trei Bottle. Not only Lo Shemana, Tosfos points out, the Mishnah is that Rabbi Yehuda does buy into Chad B'Trei Bottle. So Rabbi Yehuda is min b'mino in a bottle, so Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that's by Lach B'Lach. Why? Because Lach B'Lach is a Chiddush HaTorah. It's like Zeres HaKosov, it doesn't make any sense. That's the way the Torah said it. You can't extrapolate from there to Yavish B'Yavish. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's an unbelievable Chiddush called Min B'Mino in a Bottle. Rabbanan said, L'hoi Yud V'Am Yom, there's no such klal. That's different. It's Oleg Gavim Mizbeach, Oleg Gavim Mizbeach in a bottle. There's nothing to do with your day in terms of the kitchens. Min B'Mino is bottle like anything else. Bottle is finished. What's in the Kudus Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan? What are they really fighting about? So comes around and explains, the lomdus is not just, is it like Damapar? It's much more deeper than that. Says the Ran, everybody, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan both agree there's a fundamental principle that dictates all the rules of Bittul. And what is that? What's the famous word? Who said this to me before? Clash. Conflict. Bittul means two things are fighting it out. You have a strong thing and a weak thing. There's two things are fighting it out. And the stronger of the two takes over and wins the battle. You have to have a fight, says the Rav. That's the whole Yisrael of Bittul. There's got to be a fight. There's got to be a conflict. There's got to be a clash between two things. Who was the Mashiach? How many years ago? You were Mashiach? There you go. Well, you were in the Shia. You weren't in that when we actually had it. You probably had it. Yeah, no. But by the time you were in Mashiach, it was already like 10 years old. And you weren't around when we first said it. Right, right. Okay. You heard it secondhand. This goes back. I'm trying to remember when. It was probably when we learned Masechet Beitza. So I imagine it was the last time. Last time Yeshiva learned Beitza, was anyone remember when? It was before the last time we learned Ksubas. So how many, 13 years or 14 years ago, we learned Beitza. So I was saying over Dovah Sheish Matirin, and I said over the Ran, and I kept on saying clash and clash and conflict. And there was an Israeli boy in the Shia who said, Rebbe, Tarot said, like, hit Nagdut. Does that mean conflict? Clash? No, is that what it means? Okay. So I was so taken, that was such a good word, that became the word, hitnabdut. So that's the word of Darshish. That's the Rahim. Comes as the Rahim. So Rabbi Isaac comes around and says, you have to have hitnabdut, you have to have conflict and clash in order for a bit to kick in. A conflict is presupposing that things are different. You can't have a fight with yourself. Okay. You have to have a fight with someone who's different from you. So comes around and says, Bittul only kicks in when you have two things which are different from one another, where they have different characteristics. That's the Yisoidi, that's the prerequisite for Bittul. You have the same or the same thing. You have five potatoes and three potatoes. So what do you mean the three potatoes are bottle and the five potatoes? It's the same potatoes. So you have to have a difference. Now the multi-million-dollar question, where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan part ways, is how do you define different characteristics? Which set of glasses do you look at the world? So Rabbi Yehuda, very practical, very, Olam Haza, I don't mean that literally, not in a bad way. Rabbi Yehuda said, if you want to figure out is there conflict or is there no conflict, so who do you ask? You ask your wife in the kitchen, you ask the chefs in the kitchen, you ask them, is this the same food or is it not the same food? If it's the same food, great, then there's no nagdut. If it's not the same food, then even better, then there isn't nagdut. What defines the same or different? Let's see a shaila. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, very simple, dam and dam, this is blood, this is blood. Trefa chicken soup and kosher chicken soup, dosa chicken soup and dosa chicken soup. It's the same thing. Where's the hitnagdut? Where's the clash? Bad news, because if there's no clash, then there's no bittul. There's no bittul, then everything remains also, which is exactly what mimimino in a bottle means. That's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said. There's a lack of hitnagdut. So what were the Rabbanim thinking? when the Rabbanan disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda, they didn't disagree with the requirement of Nakdut. They defined Nakdut a little bit different. The Rabbanan said, although trefa chicken soup and kosher chicken soup are identical in the kitchen, they are radically different in the world of the Beis Medrash. One of them is also one of them is mutter. The Rabbanan looked at the world of Bittel through the requirement of Nakdut through the eyes of the Beis Medrash, the eyes of Lomdus, the eyes of Shulchan Aruch, and kosher chicken soup and trefa chicken soup are not the same thing. They're fundamentally different. One's also one's mutter. And therefore, that also suffices to qualify as Nakdut, and therefore Bittel could kick in, and therefore the Rabbanan disagree completely with this theory about Mimimim in a bottle. That's the first piece of the Rad. Then comes the Rambam with the second half and says, now that we understand what the Machlokes of the Rabbanan is all about, now we can begin to understand what Davar Sheish Matirin kicks in. Says the Rambam, according to the Rabbanan, all of Bittel is hinging on one Nakuda. There's one prerequisite for all of Bittel, is that they have to be different, and the Rabbanan's worldview of difference means the world of the Beis Medrash. Kosher chicken soup and trefa chicken soup are radically different from one another. They are so different. One is kosher, one is trefa. It's mamash. Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Yehuda says that's not enough, it's not good, but the Rabbanan say it suffices. But what if you have a davar asur? It's not so asur. It's not so asur. It's almost mutter. If you wait till tomorrow, it's going to be mutter. Wait till next week, next month, it's going to be mutter. So when you have a davar asur that's almost mutter, so I would have thought that if it's almost mutter, that's great. That's more of a reason to be butter. Here is counterintuitive. It's not shenafikh, right? The closer it is to becoming mutter, the closer it is related to what? To the Davra Mutter. The more it's close to the Davra Mutter, the less conflict there is. And if there's no conflict, then there's no Bittel. Mela means Isser. It means also the Yalim Vod. Not the Vod until it becomes Mutter. So it comes around and says, the whole Yisrael of Davashesh Matirin is the Derabbanan Dika extension of this principle of Itnagdut. Since the whole Itnagdut was created by the clash between the Davra Asr and the Davra Mutter, Ramed Ramurim, Chazer and Potatoes clash violently. And it's that violent clash that creates the ability for Bittel to kick in. Trefa chicken soup and kosher chicken soup clash violently. A beita shenolda biyomtif that's going to be mutter in a few hours, it gets mixed up with a couple of other beitim, is not such a violent clash. Because thus is mutter, and thus is almost mutter. Almost mutter is mutter for our purposes. And therefore, because it's almost mutter, you're lacking hit nagdut, you're lacking bittul. That's klal number two of the Ran. So the first klal that he asserted was he explained to us on the level of the Raisa, Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. And then he extrapolated from that to explain where the din the Rabbanan Dov Shesh Matirin kicks in. Now comes the Ran with the third one. He says, now we can begin to understand the following. The third thing we can begin to understand is, we already mentioned this in the previous Sugi, when it comes to Dov Shesh Matirin, we find the simple pshat in the Gemara in the Maseches Adarim is that this Chumrah Midir Rabbanan only applies by Min Mimino, does by Min Mimishein Amino. That's what the Rambam writes in Feirish. Chumrah to Pesach may be the only exception to this rule for technical reasons. We'll get to that in a later point. But the general rules of Dov Shesh Matirin are limited to Min Mimino, not Mimishein Amino. Who remembers? That was the Yisrael Hetzes trying to extrapolate back to what? Right? No, did we talk about this? Last Simon, right? The Isvaheta said, therefore, Chetichul Iskabit also only applies to Mibimino, and the Shach said it's not true. So the Ran says, when it comes to the Davashesh Matirin, so the Klal is only Mibimino is also Mimshein Amino is Tachamotar. Why is that? What's the Svara? Says the Ran, it's partial what the Svara is. What's the Svara? Says the Ran, when you're dealing with a Mibimino, you're searching high and low for a clash. Give me a clash. A physical clash? There's no physical clash. The same thing physically, so there's no physical clash. A halachic clash, that's exactly what the Chumrah D'Rabbanan Dov Shesh Matirin means. It's not quite a sufficient halachic clash because the Davar Aser is only to become Mutter. So you just went 0 for 2. You don't get 3 strikes in Bittul. 2, 0 for 2. You have to find some kind of a point to hit Nagdut. Physical failed you because it's the same physical item. Halachic characteristics fails you because Dov Shesh Matirin, it's almost Mutter anyway, so it's like the Davar Mutter. So in the realm of Min Bimino, when you're lacking any possible clash. All avenues of clash have just been taken away from you. So you're stuck. You don't have any hit nagdut. There's no bittul and everything is also. But when you have a teruv, it's a min b'she'eino mino. So let's not forget. In the back of our minds, a min b'she'eino mino, there is a clash. What's the clash? What's the clash? The physical clash. There's no nitro clash. It's also a clash. The Rabbanan don't deny the existence of physical klesh. They just say it's usually not necessary. Rabbi Yehuda said that's the only definition of klesh. No, the Rabbanan say Issa could also create a klesh. So when you have a davar shesh matirin, when the klesh factor of Issa v'hetta has just failed you, you have to fall back on the physical factor. You have to go back to Rabbi Yehuda's world. So by min b'mino, you don't have that. So you don't have that. Taki yistachi, you're checkmate. You have no bit. There's no hitnagdut. But when you have a tarobus of a min b'sheino mino, even though the spiritual characteristic failed you to create the klesh, but the physical characteristic is still alive and well. So ruchni is failed, gashmas is still alive and well, and therefore bitl is going to kick in. So that was this is the third part of the Ran's chiddush. This is not a shechloli. Mamash, it would take him 2 hours to say this over. So it took a lot of lines to say. So again, the first he said was machleis b'midin derabbanan. It all depends on klesh, just different ways of defining klesh. Then he says midin derabbanan. They label the davar shesh matirin as like a davar mutar, thereby no klesh and therefore no bittul. Third is this explains the phenomena why that the chumra of davar shesh matirin is only by min b'midin, not min she'ino mino. And then comes Ran and says, and now I'll explain to you the fourth. Comes around and says, even though what I just told you is emes lamita, that by min b'mino, davar shesh matirin makes sense, but by min b'she'eino mino, it doesn't make any sense. Because by min b'she'eino mino, you have the physical clash. Physical clash is important. It is significant. Even according to the Rabbanan, it's significant. So that's going to save the day. That's going to create the hitnagdut. Says the Ran, as the fourth pekuda, there's an exception to that rule also. Sometimes you can have a situation where even though you have min b'she'eino mino, and you're all ready to plug in, press the button of hitnagdut, because you have a physical clash, we're going to say, sorry, davar shesh matirin is going to cause trouble. Why? Says the Ran, a brisket Torah now. There are two kinds of davar shesh matirins. There's classic davar shesh matirin. For example, beitz shnol de biyantav. Right now, it is also to eat this egg. It's not a biyantav, it's a beitz, it's either muktzah, perasadar, whatever the name of the yisr is. It's also to eat this egg now. There's nothing you could do right now to eat this egg. You just wait it out till the end of yontav. Well, let's say, we'll even jump ahead for a little bit to the Rambam. The Rambam called chametz davar shesh matirin, highly questionable. But at least it meets the mark. It's chametz of Pesach. There's nothing you could possibly do to eat this chametz today. Nothing. A couple of days, it'll be mukta. Chadosh. Right now, you can't eat it. Wait a few days, wait a few weeks, it'll become mukta. Those are classic davar shesh matirins. But then, there's we call a super duper davar shesh matirin. It's a different kind of davar shesh matirin. It's not a davar shesh matirin that you have to wait out till tomorrow, till next week, till next year. It's something which right now is usher to eat in a certain manner and mutter to eat in a certain manner. It's so yesh no matirin, you don't even have to wait. You just have to go a little bit of a different way. You just have to eat in a certain place, in a certain manner, a certain surah, and it's going to be mutter even right now by Sheo Sham. That's a whole different kind of davar shesh matirin. That's an unbelievable davar shesh matirin. Says the Ran, if that kind of davar shesh matirin comes your way, that's going to spell trouble for you. Know what? That's going to spell trouble even by min b'she'eino mino. 2 minutes ago, I told you in my third klal, says the Ran, I told you that whenever you have a min b'she'eino mino, you can just ignore davar shesh matirin. Don't worry, min b'she'eino mino, don't worry about it. Everything's hunky-dory. You know why? Because you have what clash? You have the physical clash, and as long as you have the physical clash, it doesn't bother you, the spiritual clash, says the Ran. But med varamurim, that we're going to honestly fall back, legitimately fall back on a physical clash, that's when it's not such an unbelievable davar shesh matirin. But the davar haaser is not really mutter. It's going to be mutter in the future. Hashem Sham, it's haaser. Yontif's not over yet. Pesach's not over yet. Chodesh isn't over yet. So right now, it's really haaser. It's just it's only the kach to become mutter. So that very, very watered down davar shesh matirin, it's a shvach davar shesh matirin. For the lagabe that vis-a-vis that davar shesh matirin, we're going to fall back on the physical world and say that's enough of a clash anyway. But if you have a real davar shesh matirin, the worst, namely it's mutter right now in a certain surah. You don't want to go that surah, but it's mutter in a certain surah even right now by Sheo Sham. That is such a davar shesh matirin. That is such a lack of hitnagdut in the world of halacha. That all the clashes in the physical world are going to fail you. You know why? Because let's not forget, according to the Rabbanan, what world really matters? At the end of the day, what's the real world of clash according to the Rabbanan? The physical world does not really matter. The real world of clash is halachic world. So when you have a little bit of a clash in the halachic world, it's kind of, you know, 0 plus 0 is 1. If you have a little bit of a clash in the halachic world, combined with a mediocre clash in the physical world, that's going to create enough hitnagdut. But if in the halachic world the clash is non-existent, it's not a halfway clash, it's a nothing clash, it's a davar shesh matirin mamish pasheu sham right now in the faneinu, it's mutter. It says the Ran, that kind of davar shel matirin is going to be so powerful, so overwhelming, that even min mishen amino is going to pose a problem. Those are the four stages of chiddush Torah of the Rav. To explain to Rabbi Yehuda, explain to you where davar shel matirin came about, explain to you why there's a difference between davar shel matirin vis-a-vis min b'mino versus min mishen amino, and then he explained that that difference doesn't always apply. What prompted him to the fourth category? What prompted the fourth step of the Sheikh Lali? So there are two different cases that created the need, the necessity to say this fourth limitation. His primary goal in that long, long piece in Iran, in the Sechaz Adarim, is to defend the Psach of the Rif, in a sugi that we haven't even talked about yet, the sugi of Recha Milsa, way to the end of your day. There was a whole discussion, if you have two foods, cooking away, baking away, in the same, roasting away in the same oven, they're not touching each other, and presumably there's no zeiv from one another, we're not concerned with that. But just the mere aroma, the reach is getting from one to another, is that an issue in halacha now? So there was a whole discussion, it depends on, and a lot of complicated sugi and sibin, later on, the kuchas, right? Some kuchas later on, the sugi of reach. A lot of details, hopefully we'll get to that later on. But the rif happens to have a unique psak, the sugi of reach. The rif splits between different kinds of reach. Comes the rif and says, if you have nevela and kosher meat roasting together at the same time, and a little bit of aroma is coming out, a little bit of reach is coming out, says the Rif, don't worry about it. Reach is bottled, reich alav milsa, don't worry about it. Not so powerful. But if you have in another oven, you have a challah baking at the same time that meat, kosher, at least kosher, your kosher meat and your challah baking at the same time, so then reich milsa is an issue to declare that the bread is what? It's delicious. And you can't eat this bread with kusach right now. You can't eat the bread with milchish right now. It's a pillow. Make up your mind. The recha milsa, recha la milsa. So basically the Rif says, Miran elaborates upon, that recha is batel. Recha is really insignificant. So we view it as kind of being batel. It's not necessarily shishi, but it's basically batel. But this is an example of what? The v'shesh matirin. Why do you have to eat the bread with milchish? You have to put a slice of cheese in your bread? Why don't you just put a slice of salami in your bread? What's it? You have an option to eat it with salami. What do you have to eat it with cheese for? It's a chadav shesh matirin. I feel we have a flow vatil, says the Rif. So frak the Ran, but this is the min b'shein aminoi. This is the reach of the meat that's going into the bread. It's not min b'min, it's min b'shein aminoi. And everybody knows the klal gadol in the darm is. What's the fairish? What's the bright that says min chadav shesh matirin only by min b'min, not by min b'shein aminoi. So how about the Rif extrapolate from the sugi of davar shel matirin and plug it into this case of reich hamilch to asa the bread, it's not asa, to make the bread flesh, it's based on davar shel matirin. What's davar shel matirin? This is the b'shein amino. Know what does Ran say? This is the ultimate davar shel matirin. Here, it's not that we're telling you, don't eat the bread now, wait till next week. We're telling you, you can sit down and have whatever you want for lunch, just make sure it's flesh, it's not milch, that's all. Be parva. No one's telling you not to eat the bread till tomorrow. We're just telling you not to eat the bread in this tzura. That's super saturated. That's ein lecha davar shel matirin gomer mizeh. That's ein lecha hetzer gomer mizeh. But it's such an unbelievable davar shel matirin. That's gonna carry over. Even what? Even in the realm of mibishen aminu. And there may be another precedent for this. A very, very disturbing gemara. At the end of Masechet Beitzah, with all the shadow of tumli. No one knows what to do with this gemara. Mishnah is the very end of Masechet Beitzah, talk about tchumen. We usually think of tchumen where I'm not allowed to walk, which is true. Not only I am not allowed to walk, my animal's not allowed to walk, my kelim are not allowed to be taken, my food is not allowed to be taken. And if it's taken chutz tchum, it becomes a problem. So the Mishnah describes the following scenario. If you have food that's put together by a few different women, community of cake baking going on. So one woman's bringing the flour, one's bringing the sugar, one's bringing the spices. And they got a mixed kebab of everything in here. And it happens to be that each of the women here have different tchumen. One made an erev tchumen, one didn't make an erev tchumen, one's going this direction, one's going that direction. And now you have this poor challah here, this poor piece of cake, that's being bound by everybody's tchum. That was being bound by everyone's tchum, it can barely budge. So the Mishnah says we have a big problem here. This challah has a little bit of everyone's tchum in it. So frak the Gemara Kasha, why don't you say what? What's the Gemara say? Say it's batel. Let's say if I provided all the flour, so I gave 90% of it, you threw a little bit of sugar in or something, it should be batel. So one of the answers the Gemara gives, we spoke about already. This is where the Gemara makes what klal? Time of batel. That's one of the answers that the Gemara gives. But we're not talking about that now. Another answer the Gemara gives is what? It's a davar shel matirin. You can wait it out till after Yom Tov. You don't have to eat it now, wait till later. Davar sheyesh matirin. So come, what do we show him and say? But it's what? But it's what? It's mimishen amino. It's sugar and flour. It's mimishen amino. So why does the Gemara call that davar sheyesh matirin for leflo batel? So the Rishonim are bothered. So the Tosfos tries hard to give you teretz. Very hard to understand. What the Gemara talking about? Says the Rambam exactly what the Gemara is talking about. What kind of davar sheyesh matirin is this? We're not telling you not to eat the bread. Where are we telling you to eat it? Eat it right here. We're giving you a small perimeter. Normally you have 2,000 amos, so we're giving you 10 or 20 feet. Because 20 women chipped into the bread and they all had different chumen, so eat it in the square that's good l'chol adayos. We're not telling you not to eat it. We're not telling you to wait till tomorrow. This is like the fleshic bread. This is a type of davar sheyesh matirin that's yesh lahet mamish achshav. A davar sheyesh matirin lefaneinu, that's an unbelievable super duper duper davar sheyesh matirin that's also even b'mishen amino. So those are the four parts of the Ran's Gevalik, the Chedushim, Maseches Nedarim, and his Marviach with that last, the fourth part, his Marviach, the riff sheet about flesh and bread, Marviach, the cash all the Rishon Tosfos had at the end about the tchumen with the dough and the sugar. Rabbi Sai, according to the Ran, it's an unbelievable pshat, the Valdik pshat of Davar Sheyesh Matirin. There's only one problem. What does it only explain? What does it only explain? It explains why Bittul doesn't apply. What does it not even address? So why does Tekedav on the Kulam not apply? What does that have to do with this worldview of the Ran? So what's the answer? By saying, the Ran also has to buy into Rashi a little bit. The Ran also has to fall back on Rashi, at least vis-a-vis Tekedav on the Kulam. There is no other way to explain why Tekedav on the Kulam doesn't. You're not going to explain based on this whole razz-dazzle of contrast and hit-not-good. That's not going to help you for non-Bittul Yisurim. So anyway, Rashi's right. So I ask Kikash and Iran, if Rashi's right anyway, so why, and again, and we're okay with Rashi being right, that it's not such a good thing, because the Ran's Lashitas a little bit, right? The Ran wasn't a big believer in Sfekhtar Ban Lakula, at least in the perfect world. So if Rashi's right anyway, and we already have such a simple approach to Davar Sheyesh Matirin, it's a beautiful Shikha Torah, but completely superfluous. Why don't you say the same thing? Hashi Tachlan B'Yis, Tachlan B'Hetlo vis-a-vis Tarav, it's also, what's the answer?
It doesn't answer up
for the rain. No. We can bring back to the Sheshet Matirin. What do you need this all for? The answer is the Ran was okay plugging in that line of Ashut Chlan Abiyas, the Chlan Abiyahetta, Lagabe, Suffolk, Devon, Lakula, the Shitaso throughout Masechet Pesachim. But the Ran was bothered with the Kash of the Achranim. You can't say that by Bitali Surit. That's a Bikar system. You can't say that. By Bitali Surit, it's Mutal Chachila. There's nothing wrong with it. So that's what the Ran says. Rashi's reason is a great reason. Lagabi expected the Rabban Lakula, but it falls short. Lagabi Hilchos Taraivis, and therefore the Ran had to find a grandiose other reason. So it comes out according to the Ran. So Bris Ketarin Davar Sheyesh Matirin. There are two different reasons for Davar Sheyesh Matirin for two different parts of the sugya. There's Davar Sheyesh Matirin of Sfeiket Rabban Lakula, which is Rashi is correct. That's the Chlan Behet, the Chlan Behetter, but that's going to fall short in Hilchos Taraivis. The Hilchos Taraivis needs the grandiose pshat. Rashi didn't say the grandiose pshat. Rashi never heard of this. Rashi predated this Ran Shtetl Torah. Rashi holds, like he said, Ashtetl Chlan Abiyas, Ashtetl Chlan applies to both. Whether the Bat Yashuchan's right or not right, that's a different story. But according to Rashi, it's clear that there's one bit of Davar Sheyesh Matirin. There's one reason for Davar Sheyesh Matirin with two manifestations. The one reason is Ashtetl Chlan Abiyas, Ashtetl Chlan, the Kipshuta or the Bat Yashuchan's version. But there's one reason with two manifestations. According to the Ran, there are two different reasons, there are two different sugyas. There's Sfeiket Rabban Lakula, and there's Afil Biyaf Lo Bato. What's interesting, when you go back to the Gemara's Binyan Maseches Beitza, it took the Gemara two blocks to figure out that Sfeiket Rabban Lakula is subject to the din of Davar Sheyesh Matirin. The din of Afil Biyaf Lo Batel was Braisa. Those are the Ferish Tanoim, we already talked about that. It was Ravashi, the end of the Amorim, if the three blocks in Maseches Beitza was a Ravashi, discovers in America that Sfeiket Rabban Lakula doesn't apply either by Davar Sheyesh Matirin. So you have to try to figure out in Lomdus what changed exactly. What did the Gemara not realize till the end, and what did the Gemara discover? Did the Gemara discover a new part of Davar Sheyesh Matirin? Maybe the way the Ran's learning, the Gemara knew the second, the Lumdus the Gemara knew all along. The razzle dazzle Lumdus of Taravis, that everybody knew. That was ABCs. The Gemara didn't realize that Tachlan Abiyas, Tachlan Abiyas had the part, and that the Gemara discovered at the end. According to Rashi, the Gemara knew that all along, because there is no razzle dazzle Lumdus according to Rashi. According to Rashi, the Gemara knew all along that there's a Svar of Tachlan Abiyas, sir. Maybe the Gemara thought that that's a good Svar by Bittul. Maybe the Gemara didn't realize that's true by Sveikis. Maybe the Havamim and the other Amorim thought that Tosfos is right. Sfeiket Rabban Lakula is a Mutlach Achila. And the Maskaras of Ravashi is that Sfeiket Rabban Lakula is not Mutlach Achila. So when you learn Sugyas at the beginning of Maseches Beitza, you have to try to figure out what changed. What was the give and take? What's the Shach Matayah? The Gemara never says what the Shach Matayah is. So again, according to Rashi, there seems to be one track of Dov Shesh Matir with two different manifestations. According to the Ran, there seem to be two totally different worlds. So we're Maviach, this Gevalik, Gevalik, Ran. Mamish, I don't know this Ran, Mamish Baal Peh. This Ran is Mamish, the Yesedi, Yesedis, at least his version, Yesedis, Yesedis, of Dov Shesh Matir. Hopefully, it's Shem in the next year. So we'll try to plug in some Lamai. So what is Dov Shesh Matir? You guys want them? You guys usually